Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. I'm here with my co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. Hi, everybody.
Happy post-Thanksgiving here in the U.S.
Yes.
I got to tell you, this year is very interesting to watch the number of international people, friends of mine, who have gotten into at least wishing Thanksgiving. I don't know that it's a Thanksgiving tradition, but it's kind of one of the reasons for the show today, right? They've just gotten into this whole gratitude. Thanks for being a friend. Thanks for being there. Thanks for this. So it's kind of cool. I noticed it more this year. Maybe I'm noticing it than I have before. Usually it's just a U.S. thing.
And today in the U.S. is what they call Cyber Monday, where you get a lot of discounts for buying technology things online, and in line with the Thanksgiving spirit of gratitude, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. So I don't know if you have charities that you like to support, Scott, but I know I do. And Giving Tuesday usually is a time when sometimes they'll double your gift. So if I gave $100 somewhere, someone else, a sponsor, would match it so that the gift actually becomes $200 to the charity.
So that's cool.
If you have a charity that you support, Giving Tuesday is tomorrow.
Giving Tuesday. I will tell you that I this year did more mindful. I was more aware of the discounts for Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Oh, were you?
And
were you
so
shopping for something?
I did, in light of our episode. In light of our episode, I decided to do some stuff early, so I was not caught off guard. Many of you have already heard me talk about that. You know, December and January, big rush of
gifts,
of events that have to happen. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to name the retailer, but I'm very frustrated with a retailer right now because I got and you can't get what I wanted anywhere else, by the way.
There's
the downside.
So
I get an email.
They have a corner of the market.
I get an email, and I think most of us did, right? Early Black Friday. We're going to give you an early discount.
Yes.
And it's more of the ethics of this, I guess, is what's frustrating me the most. When you talk about it out loud and you talk about the amount of money involved, it was insignificant, frankly. But here's what happened. The principle of the thing, they sent me an email saying, okay, here's this thing you wanted, and we're going to do discounts early, and you get a 40% off.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
It is. But then Black Friday came and they did 45% off or something like that.
60.
What?
Same
item. 20%.
20% more. And I ordered it literally the day before Black Friday, thinking that the 40% was what the deals were going to be. And then I got a follow-up email going, well, today it's 60%. You type in the keyword black or whatever it was. I get online and it's the same damn thing. Here's the frustration that I ran into. I get a hold of customer service. I call them on the phone and I tell them what's going on. And unfortunately, customer service was lacking here. Here was the scripted response I got from the person on the other phone.
Hello, Mr.
Scott. I'm sorry. This is a one-day only discount. I said, okay, well, let me explain to you what's going to happen if that happens. Because I asked them, just apply the additional 20%. I bought it yesterday. I said, then here's what's going to happen. I'm going to buy this today at 60%, and I'm going to cancel the order or return the order.
Yeah.
One of the two. And she said, well, you could do that, except you can't cancel it. It's already been processed and shipped. I said, I ordered it yesterday. She said, yes, sir, but we've already shipped it. So you can't cancel it. I said, okay, let's just start the return process now. She said, great. And then she told me it was going to be X number of dollars to return it.
No.
Which, by the way, made the difference so insignificant that it's like, it's a podcast and I've already told everybody it's wrong. I basically was like, okay, fuck it. and so I've paid more, but it's like, I'll never shop with them. I'll never shop with them again.
Yeah. They've ruined their relationship with you. Okay. Well, you can't tell our listeners who it is, but you can secretly send it to me. So Michelle doesn't shop there. One of our live listeners.
I tell you what, when we do our off-air planning, I'll tell you, just remind me and I'll tell you who it was. Because I certainly can't say it on the air here because I don't want my wife to hear about it.
Right. Right. She can't know what you bought her.
But yeah, it was like, really, you know, you'd think that in this, and I've talked about this before, as we move into the holidays, I think it's even more important for retailers who have suffered under COVID. And I know you're having staffing issues, but my God, your customer loyalty, your customer base are so critical to your success now. And I just think, unfortunately, this retailer is so big. And unfortunately, this this gift that I got is exclusive to that company that I don't think they care. Mm. I mean, that's the feeling that I got. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't think they were being grateful for their customers.
Mm. You know, and it's kind of funny, like one of the things I try to make note of. So, you know, part of the training of being a therapist is you have to be ready to address some things in therapy that might be bring up some pain for people or not be the most beautiful, celebrated aspects of oneself that you're working on, right? And so you're sort of trained to not need appreciation or gratitude from a client or, you know, like thanks from a client. And certainly like gifts are considered unethical to receive. So anyway, but I do have to tell you that occasionally there's a nice comment that someone will make unsolicited by me. And it's really nice to hear. And I just have to admit that that is one of the parts of me that, you know, maybe is less than perfect, is I really do enjoy hearing that my clients appreciate my services. And it doesn't necessarily affect like my work or that kind of thing. But I like when my clients see therapy as a tool that they can use for their life, whether they come back to see me or they see a different person, I feel like I've done a good job. Does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely.
I mean, therapy for life, but
we've talked about this before. And there's a fine line. I think we're going to be doing a show on it, but it's that it's particularly with the people that I coach, right? I would say 95% of the people that I coach are all in professions or businesses where outside validation is part of the business.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Like you have to get customer reviews.
Well, I've kind of said this before and I'll just say it. You know, one of the shadow thoughts that I post online was, you know, for magic to be magic, you need an audience.
Do you really though? Like if a tree falls in the forest, does it still make a noise? If magic is done alone with the magi in the forest, isn't it still magic?
No, there's got to be even if it's you as the audience, right? Well,
okay, that's a good point. You can be your own audience, yes.
I don't mean it in the terms of magic, like what I do. I'm referring to we're all in
miracles.
Even this podcast. Mm-hmm. If we had nobody in our audience,
would
we do this anyway?
Well, you know, we kind of started it because we really liked kind of jamming with each other. You know how musicians get together and they don't perform for other people, but they jam together. And I think we started it because we were like, we're having so much fun chatting with each other about random thoughts, even when we disagree about stuff and we stretch each other's perspective on other things. We're like, we should record this.
I agree. And you and I still have our off air discussions.
Yes, we
do. I'm just saying, you know, it's like my folks who are other coaches or therapists or in the entertainment industry, we do these things for the audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's very interesting. I go back to, I had one lady still baffles me, right? I think I told you this during my run at the Magic Castle. I had one lady sitting in the front row, and I was doing an effect where it's rock, paper, scissors, right? And she sat there the whole time with her middle finger up at me, hidden in her lap, but it was like her middle finger was up. And so, of course, I'm doing the whole freaking show for her. And I think it's much like a comedian, right? Careful. If you're a comedian and you stand up there, I've heard this from many of my comedian friends who, if someone's not laughing or having a bad time, that's the whole show is about them.
Okay.
And I think it kind of goes even for you and for me in a therapeutic or coaching standpoint. Uh-huh. If we're not getting that resonance,
right.
You know, you ring the bell, if it doesn't make a noise, something's wrong.
Right. Well, so here's what I'm going to tell people is I don't know about coaching ethics, although I do coaching, you know, there's not an overall arching career, you know, all coaches must do these things. There's no governing body.
It's all self-regulated.
Yeah. But in the marriage and family therapy or social work or psychology, there are governing bodies. And one of the ethics is you can't ask your clients to do public kind of thank yous for you. So reviews on Google, reviews on Yelp, et cetera. You're not even really supposed to ask them too much for, well, you can't ask them for feedback because you want to know that the services are helping, but you can't put yourself in a position where you would use your position powerfully to make the person feel like they owe you something. And so here's what I'm going to say to anybody listening that is not one of my clients. Is if you have a therapist or a hypnotist or a coach that you love and you really think and you're comfortable kind of being out about the fact that you've used their services, please review them on Google and Yelp and, you know, like offer to give them a thank you, because they can't actually ask you. Well, therapists can't ask you for a review. It's considered unethical and potentially an uncomfortable abuse of power. So it's got to come from you. And I just wanted to say that it is one of those weird things that everybody asks for in other industries, and it helps them find new clients. But from an ethical standpoint, therapists can't ask for that.
Yeah. So, in a coaching, and we'll move on to our show in a minute, but in a coaching scenario, I can tell you what I do, and I think most coaches follow. I think most ethical coaches follow this. If you're a paying client, I don't ask for that. And there's confidentiality that I adhere to. There's nothing legal. It's just that I adhere to it.
Right.
And in those times when paying clients have offered what I call a testimonial.
Yes, a testimonial.
Mm-hmm. And you'll find it on my website, because there's social proof there. You'll notice that I only use initials. I don't put their name down. And that's with an understanding from them. I will never post something without permission.
Right, of course.
But if you're attending a Zoom session with me for free or a training that's free, it's not coming out of your pocket, and we don't have that one-on-one, personal, unique, bespoke situation. Mm-hmm. It's more like group stuff. I readily ask for testimonials because, again, there is a science behind helping people. It actually, believe it or not, some testimonials help the client relive the good experiences.
Oh, which makes sense for our gratitude topic today.
But exactly. Ah. But then again, I would never use something that somebody hasn't given me express permission to do.
Right. So. Yeah. From an ethical standpoint. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to our show today.
Yes. Okay. Boy, can we pontificate off the record?
Can we?
Sorry, listeners. Thanks for your tenacity.
So today it's all about gratitude, literally. Yes. We just got done with Thanksgiving here in the U.S. Yes. And I would like to start the show, Michelle, by I'm curious, is there an accepted in a therapy world, an accepted concept, definition, meaning for gratitude? I just put you on the spot.
You put me on the spot. And I'm trying to think, you know, in grad school, because I've been doing this so long and it was so long ago, gratitude was not as well researched as it is today. And so it didn't come up in my training. And then I'm sure there's probably a Webster's dictionary, but no, I would not say that, you know, there's a unifying definition of what gratitude is. There's a lot of great research about its benefits.
So I like to think of gratitude, and I'm going to use the, in a very broad sense, Zen Buddhist. You guys all know I'm a big fan of Pema Chodron. So, you know, that kind of thing. It's that feeling of appreciation that you have after receiving another person's kindness. It's kind of the way I look at it. Now, in my own personal practice, I will tell you that gratitude for me is being thankful without contrast or comparison. And we'll get into
I'm so glad that you're better than him.
Well, it's not. No. It even goes back to when we talked about some of Brené Brown's distinctions in wording. Okay. It's can I listen to Michelle tell me about one of her victories, successes, and triumphs and feel happy for her? Okay. Or am I saying, yeah, Michelle, that's really great. And inside I'm saying, I should have that. That should have been mine. That should have been this, right? So it's that keeping up with the Joneses concept. I don't know. I've never really done a keeping up with the Joneses. I've lived around a lot of people who've done that. At any rate, so for me, the gratitude is, can you appreciate life?
Okay.
In the here and now. And for me, it presupposes, because this kind of goes into, I think, the basic foundation of where you and I are going to come from today. It comes from a commitment to a gratitude practice.
Okay.
And for me, when you commit to a gratitude practice, that implies that you have to be willing to feel grateful.
Yes. It's interesting. In the social psych and psych research, they really get minutiae. They get into the minutiae around this. Like, did you know that there's actual scales out there in the research that they've studied? Like, there's something called the appreciation scale.
Oh, no, I did not heard that.
There's the gratitude, appreciation, and resentment test from 2003. There's a gratitude quotient 6 from 2002. Wow. So there's actual tools out there that researchers have developed to kind of help people understand gratitude and begin to form some rituals around gratitude. And then they study, like, what is the effect of gratitude on well-being? And, you know, is the practice of gratitude, does it improve well-being? Does it improve health? Does it improve mental health? And it's really, like, there's really strong research out there that a practice of gratitude has a positive impact on both physical health and emotional mental health.
Yeah, you know, there's a book out. I'm not pushing it. I've not even read it, but it's from Robert Emmons, and I found it in preparation for our show today. It's called Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier.
Great.
And one of the things, and it's a UC Davis psychologist, Robert Emmons.
Oh, yes.
He discovered that keeping a gratitude journal, which we'll talk about, I presume, which is the reflections that you write down on your gratitude, your appreciation, your thankfulness, can increase your well-being and self-satisfaction.
Yes. I mean, I'm so glad you brought him up from UC Davis, because they're one of the groundbreakers in the research on gratitude that was coming out in the early 2000s. And one of my like acquaintance colleagues who's a grief specialist has sort of integrated the importance of gratitude work in coping and healing grief and loss. And so they work together. Both of them are professors at UC Davis, and they work together to kind of collaborate and coordinate on that.
You mentioned, and I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to go here now.
Okay.
this is the way our show works, folks. We riff a little bit.
We riff.
And then we pick up on each other. You talked, interestingly enough, about grief and gratitude. Uh-huh. And I would like to make it a little broader than that, because life happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Male, female, alien, you know, spiritual being, whatever you want to be. Life happens to you as long as you're a sentient being.
Okay.
And we've talked in some of our other shows about pain and then the meaning we apply to pain, which leads you to suffering. And interestingly for me, mm-hmm. I work with a lot of people where they're not in the here and now when it comes to gratitude.
What do you mean?
Well, it's so for example, if you're feeling
present moment gratitude is one of the types of gratitude in
yes,
the literature.
I just don't know that many people practice it.
Right.
And the reason I say that, piggybacking on your grief comment, mm-hmm. is when you think about grief, pardon me, when you think about grief, I know that it's a very involved topic, particularly when someone's an expert at it like you are, but there's a lot of overlay to it that mm-hmm. deals with past events and the pain of absence and the pain of loss. Mm-hmm. There's just mm-hmm. a lot of that.
Sure.
And in my appreciation and gratitude practice, mm-hmm. you set all that aside.
Okay.
It's right here, right now, which means necessarily the understanding that Scott wouldn't be where Scott is today. I love it when I talk in a third person, right? Scott wouldn't be where Scott is right now unless all these dots, to use Steve Jobs' words, get connected, good and bad.
Okay.
And I've always loved Tony Robbins and his comment to an audience member. You can actually see him do this on I Am Not Your Guru. I think it's still on Netflix, where someone got up, they talked about their life events and the not only the things they were grateful for, but the things that hurt them. And in particular, it was, I think, a dad, if I recall right. Mm-hmm. Dad was just an SOB. Dad was overbearing. Dad was this, dad was that. Mm-hmm. And Tony Robbins, very, in my mind, very rightly so, said to them, you don't get to blame dad for everything without also giving him credit for you being where you are right now. Mm-hmm. You can blame him. He's not saying you can't blame. It's but saying take it all and say, Scott wouldn't be where Scott is right now, except for all the good and all the bad. That all of those things brought me to where I am right now. All the love, all the loss, right? All the pain, all the suffering, all the joy, all the delight, all of those things add up to where we are right now. And for me, I think those are components of a good gratitude process. And you guys have heard me talk about Byron Katie before and the work. And it's a very interesting letting go process when you get into her stuff very deeply. It's a very interesting letting go process. Ultimately, for me, in the concept of gratitude, it's what are you really grateful for? Versus what should you be grateful for?
Well, definitely. Yeah, the shoulds
aren't good.
I don't like shoulds in general, but I do think that there's a practice of gratitude that it definitely is enhanced by the present moment gratitude, but there's other forms of gratitude that people might relate to that we could cover today. If that makes sense.
I would love to know more, because in my gratitude practice, I don't make those distinctions. Today I'm feeling a 9 and yesterday I was feeling a 2. For me, it's very black and white.
Right.
It's being thankful.
Be thankful.
which goes back to the Ho'oponopono practice and right. many of the world religions and spirituality practices.
Of being present is a part of a lot of spiritual practices.
And
too.
So yeah. I would love to know the distinctions that you have discovered about mm-hmm. gratitude.
So I'm going to reference thegreatergood.berkeley, which is a calberkeley.edu, has an article on gratitude and well-being where they did a lit review. So they talk about the appreciation scale, the AS appreciation scale from Adler and Fagley 2005, and the gratitude, appreciation, and resentment test from Watkins. And so definitely present moment gratitude, as you describe it, it is both on the AS scale and the GRAT scale, and is sort of like that stop and enjoy life as it is, stop and smell the roses, be in the present moment kind of gratitude, which is one of the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kind of 7 aspects of gratitude, right? And then there's appreciation. So they carve it out, and some people focus on partly or wholly on appreciation of other people. And that's on the GRAT scale. So what do you appreciate about others or for certain others, friends or family in your life? Like, do you list them as part of the things you're grateful for today? That would be appreciation of other people. Then there's the focus on what the person has gratitude. So this is the positive, tangible, and intangible assets, I guess you would say, that a person possesses. So this might be like shelter, food, clothing, how fortunate I am to have my basic needs, that I'm safe, that I don't live in a war zone. If I'm not in a war zone, that I can walk outside and feel mostly safe. So that focus on kind of the positive, tangible, you know, I have my body, I have my health, I can walk, I have tools to help me walk, like a walker or a cane or a wheelchair, like just the tangible things that a person might have. That's another section. And then this one I think you might appreciate and is probably woven into your present moment, and that's the awe concept. So the frequency of feeling oh, like when I see natural beauty, like Niagara Falls or the Arches National Park, or for you, Scott, being in England and Scotland, and you know, so it's the like the beauty, the awe moments, yeah. or the natural beauty that someone can be awestruck with, and so that's a category. The starry nights outside kind of thing. And then there's behavioral gratitude, which is behaviors that people might perform that are designed to express gratitude. So personal or religious rituals to remind myself of being thankful or the state of being, or even just the idea of saying, like I said earlier, thank your therapist or your coach or your hypnotist, you know, like, you know, or the person that opens the door for you, or, you know, the waiter that serves you, or your friends, you know, saying please, saying thank you to indicate your appreciation. That's on the appreciation scale under behaviors. And then think about this, there's the life is short gratitude, which has kind of a link to loss and adversity. When we've experienced loss in our life, we sometimes are shocked into the reality that life is short and has adversity, and the appreciation that can come from understanding nothing is permanent, like the 5 Buddhist truths, or I think that you shared with us at one time, Scott, that, you know, life is change and everything will change and all the people that I love will change. And so we have to be appreciative of the here and the now, the life is short stuff.
Well, I mean, I will, I've told everybody before, you've seen my object of affection. Uh-huh. And on it, I literally have a charm that keeps constantly reminding Aww. Me. It says on it, I am here. And it's, you know, I was really touched. I know I'm taking you a little off track,
okay.
Michelle, but you know, you guys know, I love the singer Pink.
Yes.
And she has a song, by the way, called I Am Here. Had nothing yes. to do with this. It came out. And after I had done this, and some of the lyrics in it talk about gratitude, and they talk mm-hmm. about where she's going to go. I'm kind of getting off track a little bit here, mm-hmm. where she keeps asking, where does everybody go when they go, et cetera, et cetera. But mm-hmm. then she's got a great line in it. I can think of 1,000 places much worse than this.
Yeah. Oh, which that positive social comparison is the last form of gratitude. When we see other places or other people experiencing things that are more difficult than what we have. And it suddenly brings up a feeling of gratitude that, wow, I really haven't been as grateful for where I am and who I am and what I have. And it really yeah. could be worse.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, how many of you have walked through your own personal fire
mm-hmm.
and you've come out the other side?
I know.
There is a gratitude practice, by the way.
Exactly.
Of just saying, I've been there yeah. in your own personal way. It's not a contrast or comparison thing. You've been kicked in the gut. You've had to get back up on your own two feet. The fact is, if you're listening to this show, some right. things and some people have led you to listening to us, mm-hmm. right? We're grateful for you as listeners, but my goodness, you woke up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, I still remember growing up always hearing it's a good day. I woke up and I didn't have two pieces of wood on either side of me.
Right. Right. It's true. One of my coworkers, a former coworker of mine that I love, Deborah, she used to say, every day above ground is a good day.
There you go. You know, and again, going back to the Pink song, I love part of what she's saying is, I'm still right here. And, okay. and that's why I was saying, I love all these different nuances to gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It still, I think, requires you to be willing to practice gratitude.
Absolutely. I agree. It does, but it helps. Like, let's say you're not feeling particularly grateful for the struggles that you're facing today. Not to say that you can't experience sad feelings or the challenge. Can you also tap into the gratitude that it isn't worse than it is? Because that would be one aspect of gratitude. Or maybe there's certain people showing up for you and supporting you through this difficult time. So then you can practice a gratitude that's connected to people.
Well, this brings up an interesting part of a gratitude practice that mm-hmm. I fail at a lot of the time, just so you know.
Okay.
And that's being social about your gratitude practice.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, well, it's a very sharing. Private experience?
Yeah, for me, it's a very private experience, right? I can go on my walking meditation, or before I go to bed, I can do, we've talked about, you know, my practice of imagining people and wanting for them the root of all happiness and imagining things for them. But it's a very personal, private thing. Mm-hmm. I think there is something, at least from what I've read, there's something to support healthy well-being. Maybe that's redundant, but well-being about sharing your gratitude.
Mm.
And okay. it's always not, you know, I got some great comments over the weekend. They were private. I'm not publishing them. They're not testimonials, but I got some very, very nice private comments from people that touched me. And it was even to the point where it wasn't the standard, hey, let me just write you and use an Autobot, you know, artificial right. intelligence to write the damn thing. They right. actually were using some of my words and some of my language and some of my Scottisms mm-hmm. to write back to me. And mm-hmm. I knew they got it. It was like so touching, but it was a personal thing. And so I wonder, yes. Michelle, how from your perspective, how important is it to share your happiness and thankfulness?
So I sort of, this is going to be very religious of me, but I think there's some value in being genuine about your gratitude practice, meaning you're not going, it's not healthy to use gratitude in any kind of manipulative way, right? So I'm going to lavish you with all these compliments and thank you because I really want to get something from you, or I want to increase my social status or You know,
like, wait. So let's be clear about something. For me, yeah, that's not
gratitude.
That's not gratitude. That's a business transaction.
That's exactly. So there's some, my point is that there's some value into, like, pray. I don't care about how loudly you pray in front of an audience. I care about how deeply your spiritual practice is when you're in a closet, when you're all by yourself, mm-hmm. when you're alone. You know, this is a deep, unique, genuine experience for you. So I think the experience of expressing gratitude, like you do sometimes on your walks or walking through the labyrinth, there's nothing wrong with that. I think there can be a deeply profound, very genuine experience. Not sharing it with anybody means it is very much a part of your heart and there's no manipulation connected to it, right? The part that's nice is that when we do share with other people our gratitude, at least for them, it does help our peer connection, our social support connection. And then if we're ever down, that person has a reservoir to give to us in our dark moments, if that makes sense. And that's not a manipulation.
No,
that's
what you're talking about is community.
Yes.
And again, I think there's something, you know, I've noticed in some of my online groups, for example, it's become a community. I had somebody get a hold of me the other day who does not participate live in one of my masterminds. Mm-hmm. They watch replays. And they got a hold of me the other day and said, I can't wait to watch these. It's like watching family.
Oh.
And it was, and they meant it in a very good way. It's like a community of what's going to happen. Where are they? And it's like touching in and this individual constantly is listening to the replays of it. And so that's why I was asking, in your world, particularly from a therapeutic standpoint, I guess pain can take care of itself, but happiness needs to be shared.
Well, maybe there's definitely research that talks about it's the positive impact on well-being when you thank someone. There was a study by Seligman in 2005 where they instructed, you know, they had different groups of people. One group of people, they were supposed to write about their early childhood memories. And another group of people, they were instructed to go on a gratitude visit and thank a benefactor or somebody that had helped them. And then they did a 1-month follow-up and found that there were much higher levels of happiness, less depression, and sense of well-being for the people that had gone on the gratitude to the benefactor journey versus those processing just through childhood memories.
So I wonder
kinds of studies out there about the benefit.
So this brings me to two things I'd love to at least make sure that we get in the show today. Number mm-hmm. one, do you feel comfortable talking about, maybe from a CBT concept, mm-hmm. How people could keep a gratitude journal?
Yeah.
And then I would like to talk to them about how to do a meditation on gratitude, because there are some things that you can do specifically with gratitude that I don't think most people do when they meditate.
Right. Okay. So let's start with a simple gratitude journal. So this is obviously private. You're not going to send it to somebody. You can do it on an app on your phone. You can do it on the notes section on your phone. You can do it on your computer. You can get an actual physical journal. None of that really matters. But the point is, for instance, one of the techniques is, ideally sometime as part of your evening ritual, write down 10 things that you experience gratitude about. And it can be anything. It can be the awe, something in nature. It can be about people. It can be about things as is. It could be that, you know, things aren't worse. It can be simple, tactical, physical things like your physical safety and well-being and roof over your head kind of thing. But the act itself, even if you can't think of 10 things, the act itself of searching for gratitude improves the positive neurochemicals in your brain. And then the actual process of keeping a gratitude journal like they did out of UC Davis has such impact. If you can't do it every day because you're just a terrible ritual person, I forgive you. The more often you do it, the better health benefits it has. So just
I can help. If you're a horrible ritual person, I can help you with that.
Oh. Scott, have you met your co-leader? Oh, I'll probably be like your last stubborn client. Anyway, my point is, you get your ritual in, do it as often as you can without beating yourself up. And that's a simple gratitude journal. And one other simple thing I could say for social gratitude is once in a while, if not once a day, send a text message to somebody you care about or an email to somebody you care about, or if you have the time, an actual card to say thank you. And see what that does to your sense of well-being and your own physical health when you're practicing that kind of social gratitude. Those are my two tips.
Cool. I mean, again, just as a reminder, I've mentioned this before, for those of you that think you don't have time to do this, then you need to do it twice as often. and there are apps for that now. Uh-huh. And I mean, I keep a CBT journal. I don't do it religiously because I've done it. I've got what I needed out of it, I think. But I can still go back to it. There are cognitive behavioral therapy apps that will let you do exactly what Michelle's doing, mm-hmm. even to the extent that if you don't think you have enough time, you can use little icons, faces to basically rate the amount of happiness or gratitude that you have. Mm-hmm. That's how easy it is. So take a look at that. I would love to share a meditation concept.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to actually, I mean, you're free. Don't do this while you're driving.
While driving.
Or operating heavy machinery. You're free to experience this with me as you want, but you can just listen and go back and take some of the components of what I'm about to share with you and put it into your own practice. Whether you want to call it meditation, whether you want to call it mindfulness, there is a difference between meditation and mindfulness. Or you want to call it self-hypnosis, or you want to call it self-reflection, or you want to go on a walking meditation. Mm-hmm. You can do that. I always like to start with some grounding breath. And so again, just as a quick reminder, you breathe in through your nose, down to your belly, and then you exhale out through your mouth with your tongue at the top of you, if you can do this, with your tongue at the top of the roof of your mouth, and you breathe out and let your breath fall out like you're falling into a big cushy bed. It's all about the out breath, by the way. And it's much, you'll all know this when you realize every time you go, it's that out breath and you're releasing all the tension, right? When you release pain and suffering, it's all the out breath that actually does that for you. If you ever want to get really deep into this, I invite any of you to study Wim Hof, the Iceman, Wimhof, and he's got free online breathing techniques that will change the way you breathe, and it's pretty spectacular. So you start with this deep breathing, and you just focus on that. Then, if it's too emotional, you can picture yourself, this is an NLP technique that you bring to your meditation. You imagine yourself sitting in a theater, a darkened movie theater, and a picture is about to start, the movie is about to start on the screen. Mm-hmm. If you need that kind of objectivity, that removal, do it that way. Alternatively, you can just do it first person like you're in a dream. And you bring to mind something that you're grateful for, a sight, a person, an object, whatever it is that you're grateful for. Again, you guys have heard me talk about how I picture people in my head. I'm a very visual person. And I imagine what it would take to make them smile. Mm-hmm. So you bring to mind the person, the object, the thing that makes you grateful. And just sit with that for a little bit. No expectations, right? It's the old, yesterday is gone, tomorrow's a million miles away. You're here, you're now with your memory. That's all this is. It's a memory. And you sit with that kind of gratitude. Now, here are the little things that you add to this. I invite everybody just for a moment, not driving, not using a machinery, just close your eyes for a minute. Mm-hmm. And imagine something, someone, someplace that you're grateful for. And I want you to now add a scent to it. a smell, something that would literally continue to tickle your senses and that would add the appreciation to what you're picturing in your head. What would that be? Roses, lavender, sage, something that's joyful. And now, as you're doing that, you're picturing your picture and you've got your scent. Mm-hmm. I want you to imagine a soundtrack to this. Mm-hmm. The music that's actually playing softly in the background. And notice, by the way, any sounds from nature that there might also be, if that's appropriate. Is the ocean lapping up on the beach? Do you hear the boat creaking out in the water if that's where you are? Is the wind blowing? Are the birds chirping? Mm. Are the animals skittering? Whatever is there. And then I want you in your mind to reach out and touch the person or the thing so that you're adding the kinesthetic feel to this. And notice how you feel that appreciation. And now I want you to open your eyes and look around where you're sitting right now and bring that same sense of appreciation to everything around you. And notice how that feels. You might look at the world through different eyes all of a sudden. Because the ability to appreciate and have gratitude, in my opinion, is as simple as the words we use. It's as simple as saying, I've got this, I can get to this feeling of appreciation instantly, right? You just did it. You found something you want to be appreciative for. And it was in an instant. It was as simple as using words to do that. And you take that same appreciation and look around you. And then it's making a dedication or a vow or a commitment to now carrying this attitude of gratitude, I know it's overused, with mm-hmm. you throughout the day. And then at the very end, Michelle said that the risk of sounding religious, religious or spiritual, this is the way I end my gratitude practice. I am actually, at the end of all this, I say thank you. Mm. To all that is, to the universe, to God, mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. you know, whatever you want to call the thing that is bigger than you, mm-hmm. I literally say thank you, mm-hmm. and then I let it go. Mm-hmm. Right. So mm-hmm. for those of you with that ruminating type of brain, mm-hmm. you're not ruminating over this. You're doing your gratitude practice, mm-hmm. and then just like your breath falls out of your mouth, mm-hmm. you let it go. Mm-hmm. And move on. And I think that if you guys will make a practice of this, you'll start noticing you're looking at the world differently.
I agree. I truly agree. I'm thinking about the times that I've walked around kind of irritated or sleepy. And if I had left the house, done a gratitude practice before I left the house, it would have been a much more pleasant experience.
Yeah.
I absolutely think it's a great practice to do, especially if you notice that things get crazy around holiday time with all the traffic and the shopping and just the insanity. Like, try practicing this gratitude before you leave the house every day.
At the very least, breathe. At the very least, breathe.
Yes. And it's okay to turn around and go home, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you've been fighting for a parking spot for a while, just go home.
You know, we've talked before, and maybe this is a good way to end this. We've talked before. Part of gratitude also includes what I'm about to share with you. You know, Michelle, we've talked about Annie Duke and her book, yes. Thinking in Bets. So she's got a new one out. That is very cool. It's called Quit.
Okay.
Q-U-I-T. Quit, the power of knowing when to walk away.
Oh, I think I need to read that. I think my whole year has been about quitting things.
Oh, there you go. So this just came out, by the way. And you guys have all heard me talk about, I will use the word quit. I stop reading books and walk out of movie theaters and turn off picture shows if they're not working for me.
Yeah.
And so she literally, this is whole book about getting good at quitting.
Yeah. Yeah. That I can improve on my quitting.
And there's something to be thankful for that you have that option.
Yes. Yeah. Cause sometimes we don't.
Yep. All right. I think we've come to the end of our show.
I think we have.
next week.
Yeah. The four power words for 2023. Yes. Are you ready? I don't know if Michelle's ready.
I'm just going to say that, Michelle, are you ready? Because every year we've done this.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure we'll tell stories. I will walk you through this and how we do it. But Michelle and I have these kind of like running jokes of, yes, you do know that your power words necessarily mean there's contrast,
uh-huh,
in order to highlight the benefit.
What were your words again this year, Scott? Because sometimes your words negatively impact me.
So, ouch.
No, like I don't own you that. Had the, no, you don't own that. I just mean that one year when you had, what was it that grace. You had? Grace. What I mean is like, that was such a tough year for you that emotionally I was like, oh, we do not like grace. We don't want grace.
Yeah. Grace. What the fuck? Yeah. So, and of course the universe says, well, Scott, you can't understand grace if you don't have all this shit piled on you. And you learn to let go.
It was so, a really rough year for you.
So
Scott.
this year was authentic self.
Awesome. Worked well for me.
Equanimity, conduit, and abundance.
I love it. And mine were wellness, healing, rest, balance, and rejuvenation. So I think we had a good year.
Yeah, we did. And I'm thankful for that. So
I am thankful too.
So next week, I'm going to walk you through the four power words. Hint, hint, they're actually five, but I'll show you why I've hidden one from you and I'll tell you all about it. We'll go through all of those so that you've got those going into 2023.
That sounds good.
All right. Please remember, in gratitude, please remember to thank, please remember to like, submit, and share. And rate us and do all that good stuff on your favorite podcast platform. We really do appreciate you guys all being here now. Mm-hmm. For what are we at right now? 141 episodes now.
Oh, is that crazy? Man, I stopped counting, but I know we're over 6,600 listens. So, I mean,
something like that.
It's been fun.
It has been.
Yeah.
So thank you for letting us reach out and touch you through your phone and your laptop and mm-hmm. online and your device, SIRI and ALEXA. We can't say them because they're listening. And we will see you next week. Thank you all for being here.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.